Hello. It's a little sensitive. Okay. For some, I think I know most of you, but for the ones that don't know me, my name is Rosa, and I've been studying for a little bit with Geshe Michael and other amazing teachers from the lineage. It's always very frightening to sit here and teach. It's very powerful. So let's do a mandala first. Let's do an offering. Jonio.
Ukeja chin metal drum. Riralin shin and degen padi. Sange shing du mite u argi. Drukum nam da shing la tu parshok. Idam guru ratma mandala karniriya tayami. Shudam soki shoknam la chanchu vardu that ni katsushi daki shenyen kimpe sunanki drola penshir sange dupar shok shudam soki shoknam la Chanchu bardu that ni katsushi laki shenyen gimpe sunanki drola penchir sange dupar shok shudam soki shok nam la chanchu bardu that ni katsushi Laki chenyen gimpe sunanki Drola penchir sange jubar shok.
All right. So, So this is an amazing subject, how to relate to your heart lama. So when I was asked to talk about this, I was very happy because I think that it's one of the most important practices, you know. And I think that even if you're not a Buddhist, you know, even if you're not somebody who has taken Buddhist refuge, it is an important relationship to anything that you want to do in your life. So for me, I wanted to find a verse that would explain that relationship to your heart lama. And my favorite one is a Vajrayogini Sadhana by Pabongka Rinpoche, who's the same teacher who we're studying the Lamrim. He also wrote this beautiful sadhana, which is a practice of how to become this particular Buddha, and is in part of our lineage. So it goes like this: it is by your kindness that I can achieve the state of great bliss in a single instant. Lama with body like a jewel, you have the diamond. I bow at your lotus feet. It is a miracle to. I'm gonna cry. It's a miracle to being born as a human. It's like extraordinarily incredible to have this body and this mind and this, you know, it's a miracle. When you studied it, you know how We think we're 6 billion people, but we're nothing compared to how many beings are out there and all six realms and the state in between. And the chance to be born as a human is extraordinary. And then I'm thinking that, you know, and then if you have the chance to be born as a human, and then have some interest on spirituality, you know, like really have these big questions in your mind and think, you know, what am I here for? You know, thank you. What am I here for? You know, if there's anything else to do, then, you know, the things that we do, you know, go to school, have fun, you know, have some relationships. I don't know, all the things that we do, you know, I go to work every day and I do all those things every day, you know, and, you know, it's so incredible when you get hit, you know, everyone has their own story. I mean, you're sitting here because you are spiritual practitioners and we're so lucky. And so it's like on top of it, it's incredible. Like we're humans and then we have this interest on not just, you know, going to work, you know, eat and do those other things that we normally do. You know, we're asking the questions. It's an incredible thing. It's like the amount of kelwa that we need to accumulate in order to be at this stage is we honestly have to be in our past life like Gandhi. Like we must have been people like that in order to, you know, to be born in this human body and have an interest on, you know, on saving the world, you know, basically. And then if you top that with meeting your heart lama in that lifetime, then that's like astronomical. Then that's like, oh my God, that is it. You know, like every time I ask myself, do I need anything else? I really don't, you know, like I really hit the jackpot. You know, like I really do have everything, because what else do you need? You know, the Lama is in our traditional, you know, on a Buddhist path, and in any path, you need a teacher. There's no other way. And when you find that teacher, it is so important to know how to relate to them and how to serve them properly. Because, you know, I mean, when I went to school, when I wanted, you know, I was a little kid and I knew I wanted to learn English for some reason. And, you know, my parents didn't just get me a book and say, here, learn English. They actually sent me to school to learn. And I had a teacher who taught me English. And then when I decided to go to college and become whatever, study design, they didn't get me a bunch of books. They also sent me to school and I learned design from these amazing teachers. And I feel that in the spiritual path, it's the same way. And it's, you know, and it's even probably far more profound, obviously. And our relationship to this teacher will last for lifetimes. This is not just a one lifetime deal. It is many lifetime deals. It is, I mean, I just want you to kind of go into that place where, I mean, some of you maybe don't have your heart lama yet or your heart lama, or you have several teachers. I mean, that's okay, you know? But when you do find this amazing heart lama, it's like fine. It's like really, it's like nothing else matters. Nothing else matters, you know? They are really the root of the path, you know? And this is, you know, being stated by all of the lineage of all of the lamas of the lineage, including Jason Kappa, you know? It is in every single book that you ever studied. There's always a portion that talks about, you know, the lama. and how we need to relate to the Lama. And every single book in the beginning is dedicated to the Lama. So, you know, it is not only part of our tradition, but if you think about it, it is, how do you call it? We sometimes get a little too caught up into the technicalities and the theory of the ideas. And I think it's really good. I mean, you know, especially Tibetan Buddhism is, you know, we're scholars, you know, we study really hard the scriptures and we debate them and we learn them really well. And we understand them intellectually really well. But there is, I think, a huge portion. But in fact, the more advanced you get in the teachings, the more you learn that it's not about, you know, memorizing and debating and learning all the scriptures. It's about surrendering to your teacher. Because it doesn't matter how hard you study and how hard you meditate, if you don't have that devotion to a teacher, it's going to be really hard. They say that the only way that you can get enlightened in one lifetime is through the guru. There's no other way. So I guess you can reach enlightenment without having such a devotion to the Lama, but it's going to take you a lot longer, like a lot. So, I mean, we're talking about, I can't even imagine the amount of times. It's always driving me crazy when we talk about kalpas and great kalpas and, you know, trying to calculate what that is. I mean, one time I tried to calculate, it's like 800 million years or something. I can't remember the amount that I came up with, but it's a lot, you know, it's like incredible. And then this one being in one lifetime can take you there. I mean, that's how powerful it is, you know, it's like, and when I go back to this beautiful portion of the Vajrayogini sadhana, you know, it is by your kindness. It means that it is by them teaching us, you know, by them patiently, very patiently taking their time and teaching us. We can achieve a state of great bliss in a single instant. The state of great bliss is really full knowledge. You know, at the end, when you become a Buddha, wisdom is bliss. Method and wisdom blend together and they become bliss because that's going to be the state of your mind. So they can help you achieve that in one lifetime. And the Lama is in a single instant, right? So in a single instant, it means here one lifetime because that's what it is for them. Like for a enlightened Buddha, our whole lifetime is like an instant, you know? Lama with body like a jewel, you have the diamond, I bow at your lotus feet. So, you know, the Lama is the one with a diamond body, you know? It means that they are the Buddha. They have the three bodies of the Buddha. Okay, they have the paradise body, they have the Dharmakaya, so, and then they have the mind. So the mind of the body, the mind of the Buddha, which is all-knowing, they have a paradise body, and they have the emanation body. And I bow at your lotus feet. It means that I honor you. And to me, this totally encompasses that. What is the relationship between this incredible being and us, you know? I mean, the Lama is the being who is here to teach you, because if we had the karma to be studying with the Buddha, we would be studying with Buddha. And we probably wouldn't be humans, because in order to see a Buddha, you need to be another Buddha. So the Buddhas emanate, and they are our teachers. This is how the Buddhas come to us and they teach us. So it's very important to have a very high view of your teacher, because if you look at your teacher as someone kind of like a cool, nice, regular guy, then that's how much you're going to become. Then I'm going to become this cool, nice, regular person, you know, because you're supposed to become your teacher, you know, and the higher your view you have of your teacher, then the higher you will become, because at the end you become your teacher. That's why, I mean, I hear a lot of teachers say that you have to be very careful choosing your teachers because you're going to become them, you know. So if you don't like them, or if you are like kind of, you're kind of thinking of taking someone as a teacher, they say you should take 12 years to do it. You should like study with this person for 12 years and observe them and find out about them and get to know them and really see if they are who you want to become and if they're teaching what you want to learn. Okay. Because some people, I don't know. I mean, I have some friends who feel very attracted to the teachings, but then they're probably more attracted to the other lineages, you know, or maybe more of a yoga lineage. Or so just make sure that the teacher that you're studying with is teaching what you want to learn. Okay, so if you want to learn about a particular lineage, then you should be, you know, just learn about this teacher, make that wise decision. Because once you choose the teachers, once you decide that this is your heart lama, that relationship is forever. That's it. Okay? And if we think about logically, maybe, you know, you've been with this lama before, you know, other lifetimes. But let's just keep it simple. So once you take a lama, it's very important to always keep the highest view. Sometimes that's really hard because a lot of our teachers are very casual. You know, like they're very like, hey, they want you to feel very comfortable and they're very casual with you. And, you know, and you're like, oh, yeah. And then you feel like, oh, this is the dude. And, you know, and you're like, and it's good because it's good to relate to them and be easy about it. But never forget. Never forget. This is a special being. This is an incredible being in front of you. And I think that that's a little bit of, I feel it's a little bit of a danger in the West, because we're so casual. I think that's one practice that is very important for us to constantly remind ourselves, that doesn't matter how, you know, cool and comfortable they make us feel, that they are the teacher. They are the Buddha. They are, you know. It's for our own benefit. It's not for their benefit. They don't care. They don't care if you bow to them. They don't care if you make offerings to them. None of the things that we do, how we properly treat, you know, a lama, you know, in terms of how do you approach them? How do you serve them? You know, how do you behave around them? There's so many rules. There's so many, you know, vows actually that we have. I counted them about like over 50 vows that relate directly to a lama once you have taken an empowerment. And they're very particular and they're very clear. And they're all for us, you know. They are all for us to learn to see and treat a holy being so that we can become a holy being. It is a code of conduct so that we can become that. It's like a sadhana, you know? And so all of the things that we do are for our own benefit. They don't need you to, you know, bring them flowers or buy them gift and none of that stuff. Like, you know, it's really interesting because I do see my teacher like really organizing all these things, and he gives projects to different people, and it just becomes so crazy. And I know that he can do it all on his own. Like this, like in 2 minutes. And it takes us like 3 weeks to put it all together. And it's like this all, you know, very dramatic thing. And we all like, you know, running around with mental afflictions. And it's all so that we can serve him. All so that we can have that little bit of virtue, you know, because, you know, through that virtue is how your mind somehow becomes clear, is how you're blessed with the teachings, you know. Our lamas are always blessing us with the things that we need to do so that we can understand the teachings. So, you know, if we do this really, really well, you know, we don't have to pretend that our teacher is the Buddha. All of a sudden you start seeing it as the Buddha. And we know like many stories like that, right? You know, like last night we heard the story of Asanga, right? That he met Maitreya after 12 years of like rigorously practicing meditation and, you know, totally doing everything by the book. But there was something, there was the last teaching that he needed to learn in order to see his lama, you know, as this fully enlightened being. And then the minute that he got that teaching, he saw him and his paradise body. And I think that that's what the lama works, you know, that's why the lama gives us all these projects and guide us in all of these different specific things that we need to do and ways that we need to behave towards the lama. So it's to our benefit to believe that our lama is an emanation of a Buddha because it's going to directly change our imprints, you know. Unfortunately, we have the imprint of seeing them as a regular being who once in a while pokes their nose and, you know, say funny things or, you know, like he's a dude or she's a, you know, whatever, a lady. And it's up to us. It's up to us to give the power to the lama, you know. It's like the lama is as powerful as you perceive them to be. And that imprint is only going to come through the service. And it's like a training, you know, it's a training. It's like knowing, once you know you have chosen your lama and you know this is the path, obviously you need a good foundation, you know, because this is not about blind faith. You need a very good foundation of, you know, understanding intellectually at this point karma and emptiness really well. And how does that apply to your teacher, you know? Because it's interesting, some people apply it really well to a lot of things except for the teacher, you know? It's like all of a sudden the teacher does something that they don't like and they're like, well, you know, the teacher. But the teacher is also coming from you. The lama is your own, you know, is your projection as well. So if you don't like something that the lama is doing, then figure it out, you know? It's the same thing as the pen. There's no difference between your lama in that sense, right? Between your lama and the pen and the boss and the person that you don't like, you know? They are not self-assistant and they all come from you. But they are the ones you have a karmic relationship. You have this really strong karmic connection. And they came into that form for you. You know, it's not like anyone can be your teacher at this point. Like, at the end, the goal is like everyone is your teacher, by the way. Like, at the end, when you're somebody who is fully realized, everyone is teaching you, everyone is your teacher. There's no distinction between your heart lama and, you know, and anybody who walks by. You see a teacher in every person that comes back. And that's kind of like almost near the goal, you know. You see everyone as enlightened. But as we're in the path and we're working really hard to, you know, eliminate all of our mental afflictions, that's kind of like this special being is your guide, is the one who is, you know, you're like relying on. So, and they are truly like a nuclear power plant, you know, that they can really like anything that you do, they're the highest object. So anything that you do in terms of karma, if you have ever studied how karma works, you know, they talk about how the object is the most one, you know, if the object is very powerful, then what you do towards that object is obviously ripens in a lifetime, you know. So the lama is one of those. Anything you do towards the lama, anything, any conduct, anything that you say or do, positive or negative, will ripen in this lifetime, you know. So that's why it's so important to serve a lama, because as somebody who wants to get enlightened in this lifetime, like, I don't want to wait for the next lifetime, you must, you know, serve the lama properly, because he is like, you know, it's like nuclear energy, you know. It's like serving, you know. And I don't mean that it's, and this is not to say that you shouldn't serve everybody. Obviously, we must serve, and you know, and I think we are, our teacher is very keen on that. You know, we must serve everyone, and we must include everyone, but in our own personal practice, you know. And he and my teacher is probably the most amazing guru yoga practitioner that I know. I mean, he is top notch, you know. He serves the world, but he serves his lama in the most perfect way. Always, always. It's such a beautiful example, you know, of how he views his teacher and how he, you know, treats his teacher and talks about his teacher. Such an example, you know. But it's an incredibly important teaching. It's just no other way. And you know, it's being mentioned by pretty much all of the lamas, you know, especially Jason Kappa, you know, who really calls it the root of the path, you know. So it's like our foundation. If you want to go anywhere in this, you know, in this practice, you must have that really clear. And it just gets, you know, and I don't know. I mean, there are ways to serve a teacher in through thoughts, you know, is how we think about our teacher. And how we, you know, in our own practice, you know, when we meditate, how we bring the teacher into our meditation practice, that has an incredible value. You know, if you see them as someone incredibly, you know, expansive and beautiful and enlightened, I mean, that changes you. That's an imprint in your mind that you're bringing, you know, that is, and you think of their qualities and you really appreciate their qualities. That's what changes you, you know. It's like when you think of like Jesus, for example, you know, if I think of Jesus, I'm like, whoa, it's, I mean, an incredible being, you know, how selfless, you know, and how incredible, like, he was the example, you know. He walked the talk, you know. He wasn't just, you know. And so when I think of him and I appreciate him and I feel gratitude in my heart, I think that that's what changes you, you know. I think that, like, authentically really feeling the, you know, because I think this part of the practice is not so much about debating and, you know, and it's not that stuff, you know, and trying to prove any reason. You know, I think it's, for me, you know, guru devotion is obviously, you have to understand karma and emptiness for it to work. But is this devotion? It's just knowing that there's nothing else. It's just knowing that this is the person that for you, that is gonna help you. It's gonna help you. Hello. Okay. Got it. I won't move. So if we behave properly to our lama, and I'm just going to go through the list. Okay. So if we always take refuge, you know, in our lamas, thinking of their qualities, you know, like that's one way of, relating to our lama in a proper way. He's always thinking of their qualities and take refuge in those qualities. If we are always making offerings of beautiful things, and, you know, I think one of the most important things that they want to get from you is really your practice. They want you to get good at it. So offering your practice is probably the highest offering you can offer them. So always making offerings and showing gratitude towards, like, being content, you know, and just being grateful, you know, of where you are, like, you know, the teachings that you are receiving. I don't know. I think we, you know, it's very hard sometimes. We don't realize how lucky we are, you know, like some people have been studying a lot longer than I have. And I feel like I have received an unmeasurable, you know, like thousands of hours of teachings, you know, and my teacher has translated books, you know, like thousands of pages of books and, you know, like taught it, you know, and recorded it. And, you know, some of us are catching up on recording and some of us were lucky enough to receive them directly. I mean, so much constantly. And I think, I don't know, I'm not grateful enough. You know, if in my heart I was grateful, you know, like if I will rejoice a lot more into what my lama does, I think that also will make me a much better practitioner. Like that would change my heart, you know? And I think that's what the lama does, right? That's what they're called, heart lamas, because they speak to your lama. They just speak to your heart. And they transform you, you know? So, yeah, you know, gratitude. We should do what they ask us to do. and that's a big one. If, you know, I think the Lama only wants us to, you know, to just get better, to be happier, you know, and they give us these practices and they give us these things that we should do. And if you have a personal relationship to your Lama, they once in a while will tell you to do something specific, but it doesn't seem like he said that it doesn't seem, just be aware. Because sometimes they tell you to do something and you think that they're just making a comment and it's actually an instruction. So you make sure to remember that whenever they tell you to do something, they can see the future. You know, they can read your mind, they can see the future. And so they know what they're telling you to do something because if you do them, you're going to benefit incredibly from it. You know, like, and so anything that your lama asks you to do, do it. It doesn't matter how hard it is. Like sometimes I've gotten some projects that are crazy. and I'm like, the first thing I think is like, what? I don't have time. But, you know, my mind starts like, you know, going crazy, thinking like an ordinary person, you know. And then I step back. I mean, I actually failed quite a few times. I was given quite a few projects before. And I mean, like, I'm sorry, I don't have time. And then I learned the hard way that you don't do that. You know, you just do it. You just do it. And the funny thing is that once you start doing it, it gets done. And the benefits are incredible. It just gets done. You know, time for some reason expand, you know, like an instant becomes a lifetime or something. And it just happens, you know, you just do it. So surrendering to the Lama is incredibly useful. It's incredibly hard, but also useful. And, you know, we're going to fail quite a few times before we get the message, you know, that they know what they, you know, like if you do it, and it's for your benefit. It's not like if you say no, they're like, you know, no, they're like, oh, okay. You know, and they'll keep trying, you know, like your heart Lama never gives up on you. And they keep trying. They're like, okay, she didn't hear it this time. I'll figure out some other way next time to get her, you know. And I seen it, you know, like it's so beautiful. And I seen it with other people too, you know. So, you know, do what they, you know, doing what the Lama asks you to do is, and I think that that also means, you know, to study and to practice and to apply the teachings, you know, like apply them, you know. Sometimes I feel funny asking my teacher like specific questions about like my own particular situation, because I feel that he taught me everything. Like he taught me exactly how to deal with every single particular situation in life with all of the teachings he had taught us, you know, like all 36 courses, you know, like somewhere in there was how to deal with that. And if I was paying attention, I probably just, I don't have to go and ask him. So it's doing what they ask you to do. I think probably one of the most important things that we should never criticize them is a rude downfall. It's like the number one big red flag, rude downfall from somebody who has taken empowerment from a teacher. That you do not ever criticize your teacher, because it's such a bad karma, you know. It could actually ruin your chances to get enlightened in one lifetime. It could ruin your chances to reach, actually, I think they say even like a bodhisattva level. Like it can really like damage you. So it's really important to be very careful what we say. And it's hard. And it's very hard, especially when you have studied with a lot of different teachers. And then at the end, you discover that this is the teacher. You know, along the way, you have enough being very good at, you know, just being very great, you know, grateful and respectful, everyone who had taught you something. And I think that this is something that once, you know, it happens to me like in this way, because I was so stubborn and I learned things in a different way, that after I met my heart teacher, I realized how I should have been the same way with every single one of my teachers. You know, like you're being taught since you're like kindergarten, you know, like how to smash the clay to do the little balls and the little thing. You have somebody there, you know, patiently teaching you how to write down the A, you know. And those teachers are no different. They're no different. Anyone who teaches you anything, you know, even the person who, I don't know, teaches you how to drive, they're all, you know, they all, if we learn how to treat every single person that had taught us something in this way, I think that our minds, you know, will be so different. Because I think that if you are in a place where you're always appreciating and you're always surrendering and you're open to what other people are telling you, you know, then if you're not imposing your perspective, you're not you're in the moment and you're open and you're learning. And I think that's, to me, that's a little bit of how a Buddha probably is, you know, like they're not, you know, like they can see everything, you know, they can see what you are seeing, and then they see the emptiness, you know, they can see your emptiness, you know, and they can see the emptiness of what's happening, but it's, you know, but they're not judging, you know. And I think that if we can treat everyone the same way, you know, like we have a very special, like once you, and we're really good. And, you know, like I know, I have a lot of friends who are amazing. Like they really do an amazing job of how to serve their teacher. When I think about, great examples, I think about, you know, for example, I don't know, Nancy Karen, who I love, who is not here this time, and I miss her a lot. she's my mandala pal. She has been running the Three Jewels in New York for about 10 years now, and it's tough. It's really tough. And this was something that she was asked to do. And she and Marco Wex, who's another student, early student of Geshe-la, they run it. And they just make it happen. And they run it. And it's hard. And they do it. And I think that's, they're a really good example to me of how to serve the teacher, you know, because they just do it. And I've been very close to Nancy, and a lot of us know Nancy. And it's like there's no, it's very hard and it's very difficult. You know, it's very expensive and you have to raise the money every month to pay the rent of that, you know, center, you know, and it's New York City, so it's expensive. But they do it. They just do it. And it's been happening now for 10 years. And that's where Hector teaches. And that's where I learn most ACI classes. That's where a lot of us had taught for the first time. And it's an incredible place, you know, we all benefit from it. But anyways, you know, they are an amazing example. I mean, I think of Mercedes, who totally dedicated her life to take care of Geshe Michael, you know, like full on, you know, 24/7, every detail, you know, every single thing. And basically it's like you renounce to your life and you just become this person 24/7 assistant. And she's an incredible example. You know, to me, she's probably like a nuclear, you know, she's a little nuclear bomb, you know, she's just like incredible. I don't know anyone like her. But she's a great inspiration, you know, to me. I don't know, so many. I mean, Rob has been serving Geshe Michael for a long time, you know, quietly, always in the background, but, you know, solidly there. Amazing, you know? And I'm so grateful that I have all these people around me because they teach me, you know? Johnny O is like always really graceful and happily doing things with joyful effort, which is something that I need to learn. You know, just there's so many people who totally get it. And I think, you know, this group is really awesome. Everyone is willing to serve and happy to do things, you know, for one another and for Geshe-la. And it's very inspiring, you know, and I think I feel very lucky that way because I get to see you doing all that and, you know, I get to learn from you. And so there are different ways to serve, you know, like you have somebody who's dedicated her life, like Mercedes, you know, to other people who can't really do that 24/7, but we all have a way of serving them. And each one's obviously way of serving the Lama is the right way for you. Okay. It's where you are, you know, and not Geshe Laiko doesn't need 150 assistants running around for him 24/7, although he probably will use them, but he doesn't need, you know, 150 Mercedes. He needs different, you know. And anyways, it's for you. It's your service, you know, it's how you serve your teacher. This keeps going to sleep. So it's something obviously that you need to cultivate. To find a lama, you don't really find a lama, you actually create your lama. You know, your lama is something that you manifest once you have, you know, the goodness to see somebody as a teacher. So like in the beginning of the class, I was saying is really an incredible, it's incredible. Like I can't even imagine the amount of goodness that you need to meet your teacher, you know, to have and receive teachings for them and have a, you know, because some people meet their teachers, but they can't really study with them. They're their heart lama, but their heart lama is not teaching them, you know? So that's pretty incredible for those who have that goodness, you know, to study with their heart teacher. But, you know, it's an incredible goodness, and it's also a very delicate, you know? You can lose the karma of seeing someone as your teacher like this. So that's what we need to cultivate. It goes back to cultivating, you know, cultivating the karma to perpetuate seeing your teacher as pure and seeing your teacher as an enlightened being. It takes work. And that's how we need to see them in order to really progress in the path. So to do that, it is, you know, again, it's going back to how we treat them, you know, and it's difficult to, I don't know, it's very difficult to explain because it's very personal. I don't know, and it's very easy, you know, in a way, because I have the good fortune of relating to a teacher and really having no issues. Like, believe me, there is going to come a time where you go through, you know, difficult times because what you're seeing, you're not happy with. So when you get there, you need to rely on teachings. You know, you need to rely on karma and emptiness. You need to understand, you know, and always take refuge in your best understanding of, you know, what karma and emptiness and how that take place in every single experience that you have, you know. You know, is a joyful relationship is, you know, is always being happy, you know, and it's also being, when we're around our lamas, it's interesting because a lot of people just want to go and serve their teacher, you know, it's like, and you just want to do, you know, they walked in and they're your main attention. And sometimes we step over people to go to give a rose to our teacher or something. And it's interesting because I watch myself doing that, getting so excited and just being like, get out of my way, you know, the flower to my teacher. And then I'm thinking, that's not what my teacher wants me to do. I'm not really serving my teacher. Like if I go gracefully, you know, excuse me, you know, or allow other people to give the flowers, then that's probably what my teacher wants me to do. So sometimes we get a little confused of what the idea is, you know, like yes, they are our highest object and we should serve them and treat them, you know, but what they want us to do, they want us to love everyone, to take care of everyone, you know. So in the process of also serving them, let's make sure we serve others, that we actually don't kind of like hurt somebody else in order to get to the teacher. And it's funny because I've seen it. And I have done it myself too. So, I feel like for some reason I have to say it today. They always want you to have the highest view. They always want you to do the highest thing. And the highest thing is, you know, it's what's going to serve the most people, you know? Obviously, the highest view is emptiness, but you know, it's what's going to, the practical, you know, way is what's going to serve the most people, and always keeping, always being kind. Obviously, keeping your book, you know, if you're in this lineage, keeping your book is extremely important because that's how you actually become, you know. You're shaping yourself. It's like a script, you know? So it depends on a lama how fast and how slow we're going to move in the path. So you could... I don't know. It's sort of up to us, you know? It's up to us to understand the value of that relationship, you know, to really utilize it, you know, because it's not just it's not just receiving the teaching or writing it down and memorizing it. You know, there's so many things going on in a teaching, and there are even more things going on outside the teaching. You know, like I've received so many teachings outside of the setting, outside of the, you know, the sitting down, taking notes, you know, studying the scriptures. So it's really observing your lama, you know, observe them, learn how they do everything. Like sometimes I forget to take notes because I'm like so focused on just seeing them talk and see how they see, you know, how they stare at things and how they do and how they move and the things that they do. Like I'm always very intrigued to see, because I feel like they're these very special beings, that every single move that they make, you know, has a meaning, has a profound meaning, and has a profound teaching. I don't know. I'm always very intrigued by it. So I'm always observing my teachers. I'm learning how they behave. I guess that's all I have. You know, it's guru devotion. It's the root of the path. You know, it's great to, I think it's, you know, great to study really hard, you know, the first, I don't know, 10 years, find some really good, you know, scripture teachers. And if you're lucky, that teacher becomes your heart lama, you know, like in the beginning, sometimes, I don't know, it happens differently for every single person. Like when I met my heart lama, I knew this person was my heart lama, even though I didn't know what this person was going to teach me. You know, like the moment I met this person, I knew this was my teacher. And so I decided to learn whatever he was going to teach me, you know, and it's different for everyone. You know, some people get into teachings of, you know, whatever, let's just say Buddhism, because this is what we're studying here. But you go into and you're intrigued by the teachings, and then you might have a scriptural, you know, like your scriptural teacher, and then you meet your, you know, tantric teacher, and, you know, and then you have all these different teachers, and then probably your heart teacher is somebody else, you know? So it's different for everybody. But whoever this person is to you is, how you relate to them. It's what's going to accelerate your understanding of the teachings. So a really good practice is to always ask them to bless your mind every time you can. And this is something that you can do anytime. So meditation, you're walking or you're driving, when you're having a hard time, especially with something, you know, and you can't figure something out, just struggling, just ask him to bless your mind. You know, they're there with you. You know, if you think of them, the moment you think of them, they're in your heart. They're there instantly. You know, you just call them in and they're there, you know. I don't know if we studied, I think this was in Mexico. We were doing the, there was a story about this girl who, it's a long story, but the short version is that she was locked into a chest, and don't ask me why, but she was locked into a chest, and she heard the voice of the Buddha. And she really wanted to see him. So she called him, you know, like, oh no, it's actually, she heard he was going to be teaching. And she really wanted to see him. And she actually was able to dig a little hole in it and have a view of the Buddha. because she called her from her heart. So they are here. You know, your heart lama always lives in your heart. And they're there to help you in with anything you need, you know. And sometimes you can't, you know, obviously physically talk to them. I'm asking the question directly. But I found that I get all of my answers in meditation, you know. When I think of something, I could be walking. I don't even have to be in meditation. If I think of, like, you know, bless my mind, let me figure this out, you know, just help me, you know, you kind of acknowledge that you are having a difficult time coming up with the right answer for a particular situation, and they can help you, you know. And developing that kind of relationship to a teacher is so important, you know, because they're not going to be with you all the time. Yeah, so anyone has any questions and any comments? I mean, we have I have a lot of friends here who have a lot of experience of how relating to a lama. So if they care to share anything, I'm more than happy to. Please? Anybody? Yeah. I've heard, I mean, you know, anyone can help me answer this, but I heard that you can have a few heart lamas. You don't need to have one heart lama. You can have a few heart lamas. You know, as many as it doesn't, you know, I don't think there's a limit to it. And you had different lamas, and I think there are two things going on as you're, you know, developing your as you're learning more and you're kind of your practice is becoming deeper, you understand what you need from a teacher a lot more. So that's, you know, I think in the beginning when you choose a lama, you relate to this teacher and you choose them and they're teaching you, but things could change for you. You know, like there are people who have been studying, you know, with their lama, like scriptures, for example, you know, and then they meet their partner, like they're, you know, they marry somebody and this person becomes their heart lama, you know, and they change, you know, like I think that's not, you know, I think maybe you're talking traditionally, like in the Buddhist, right? In the Buddhist lineages, how when you choose a heart lama, you have to stick with one heart lama. But I don't think I don't know. From what I understand, it's not that, you know, restricted. Do you guys? Yeah.
I think we're weak and silly people, and sometimes they give us vows or those kinds of rules to protect us, because if you do take a heart lama,
mm-hmm.
it's going to get very hard. They're going to put you in uncomfortable situations, and they might break your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And it's to your benefit to stick it out, because as you come out the other side, you'll be transformed.
Yeah.
That's just a guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thanks for the last sentence. in the daily, like later on, or somewhere along the way, Geshe-la talked about it. Abhanga Rinpoche refers to the Dalan, which is like the easy path, or path to bliss. But somewhere along the way in there, there comes up a discussion that Losan Shubhi Gelson talks about. You start to take more lamas
mm-hmm.
and stuff, and it can get a little confusing.
Mm-hmm.
He said, always take it back from the viewpoint that there it's one being emanating out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's...
Yeah.
That's
great.
Very helpful for me because you know, when we went to Diamond Mountain, suddenly we're thrown with five teachers, lamas all at the same time, and you turn a corner and you're like,
true.
But he said, if you take from the perspective that they're one being, then, you know, projecting out the person that you need to, you know,
mm-hmm.
maybe you need five different personalities or so to help you,
mm-hmm.
one won't do it.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, if Valmarche quotes Lord Buddha saying, you know, that'll be me later on, don't worry and stuff. So,
yeah.
That's
true.
Been
personally helpful
for me.
Yeah.
So true. Got a different view. I was thinking you can have several lamas, but it must be one heart lama. But you say it's not.
I'm just saying that's what most of you also said.
Todd, you have to.
You had mentioned, like, you know, there's situations where you think, like, you know, maybe something negative about your heart mind, or think it or say it, like, how do you reconcile that? Do you, like you go through and you say, oh, you know, it's really coming from me, but then I could think that I've already planted that thought of negativity, so do you like the four powers, or...
Yeah, you purify it in the same way. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, just, you know, Johnny O was saying, it's cool because the two of you got the fantastic answer together. Because, yeah, it's like the teacher will emanate in a million different forms. And we need to recognize that the teacher is not that one person, self-assistant, you know. The teacher actually is coming from, you know, and it's teaching us in different forms. And they can come in very creative forms, like somebody yelling you at the subway. You know, they can come in, like, particular situations that are just way too obvious to not be a teaching, you know, like ding, 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 you know. So not only that, the physical form of the formal teachers, you know, like the teacher who taught you emptiness, the teacher who taught you bodhicitta, you know, like even in the monasteries, you actually have different teachers teaching you different subjects. So I think that it's important to keep that view that they're all the teacher, you know, the Heart Lama, the teacher, you know, is you can say that is the teachings and is the teacher, you know, it's like they're all the Buddha, right? And then I love your answer. I'm sorry, I had to go back to that. I love your answer because it is a test to your practice. Because sometimes we get angry at our teachers because they ask us to do something that we don't want to do, you know, or they called out something that we are ashamed of, you know. It's hard. The relationship with the teacher, with the Heart Lama, is really hard because it's, you know, it's personal, you know. The teacher is trying to make you see that you're not what you think you are, and the things around you is not what you think it is, and it's really hard, you know, because we're constantly struggling with that. We want things to be self-assistant because that's how we see them, you know. And so they're always like, no, you know, and it's hard. It's a tough teaching. And then a lot of people, what happened to a lot of people is that they're somehow don't realize that that's what's going on, that they're teaching us, they're doing their jobs. And then we kind of become disillusioned. And then we come up with this nice story that they just are not our teachers. You know, they're not, it's not so good, you know. It's not working out for me. I don't like this teacher style, you know? And all of a sudden you're like, oh, you know, I need a new teacher. And things like that happen. So we have to be very careful. So those two points are really important. Thank you, guys. It's awesome. And then, yeah, and then your question. So when we're going through that process, because we will, it's very important to think that anything they do is a teaching. Like, you purify the thought. Like, if you see your teacher, for example, I don't know, doing something that you think is wrong, you know, I don't know, you see your teacher maybe yelling at someone and you're like, that's not cool, you know, you kind of have to take what I try to do, and people do different things at different levels of their understanding. You know, we all have our thing. What I do is that I always take it as a teaching, you know, like they're teaching me, you know, that, you know, like it's like they're teaching me by showing me my seeds, you know, that I am seeing a situation. I'm seeing something that should not be happening because I have the seeds to see it in a certain way. Like I'm seeing somebody being yelled at and somebody yelling at because that's my seed. I'm seeing it happening like that. Because maybe that's not even what's happening. You know, like I'm seeing my teacher probably talking to somebody in what it seemed to be yelling, but I have the seeds to see it at yelling, you know. And it's tricky, you know. It's very tricky. But I think that the bottom line is that everything we see is, you know, and they're gonna be, and there are different levels to that. Like when you're studying in the high teachings, they're actually pretty strong examples of what you know. It's like they're tests. Like the teacher is always testing you. You know, like there is a story of I think it's Milarepa and Naropa. And, you know, and there, you know, there's some pretty heavy tests that the teacher will put you through. And that could be one, you know. And I think that sustaining that point of view sometimes is really hard. But if you take refuge on, you know, if you take refuge on karma and emptiness, I think you overcome it. You know, that's why I think the foundation is really important. Because what you see might not be what is happening, you know. And actually, it's not really what is happening. But, you know, yeah. Any other question? Anything that you guys want to share? I'm looking at you. No? You guys? So I thought that we should do probably a sweet meditation about the Lama. This is one of the practices that we do also. It's the preliminaries. It's a guru practice. So a nice preliminary. Do you hear me if I talk from here? Yeah? Okay. All right, so just get in a comfortable position. Just relax your face. Relax your shoulders. Make sure that all the tension from your face goes away. Make your back nice and straight. Now bring your mind to the physical sensations of the body. Scan your body. Feel how the body is heavier. Feel the seat grounded. lama, your heart lama in front of you. And feel their presence in front of you. They are very happy to be here. They're smiling. And you can see their faces. You can see what they're wearing. They are really there. Try to have a clear picture of them. And if this is hard to have a full image, then focusing perhaps their eyes. And you bow down, you place your head at their feet. And you take refuge. And you think of a quality that you admire, or qualities that you admire in them. And you make an offering. It could be the Milky Way cover with flowers, or just something kind that you've done. And then you think of something that you are not very proud of. Something that you've done in the past 24 hours or so. And you tell them about it. And then you think of something, you know, you rejoice on something that somebody has done. Someone you've seen do something beautiful. And you rejoice and you tell them about it. then you ask them to please stay, always stay, and teach you. You beg them. And they agree happily. There's nothing else they want to do. And then you see your lama in front of you, really happy, very happy with you. And you see their bodies becoming light. Their bodies are filled with light, beautiful light. And this light flows on top of your head. And it melts into you. And this light reaches your heart. And that is them in your heart. And then the light expands into all 10 directions of space. And the light reaches every being that ever was and ever will be in all space, all realms, stayed in between, and they touch every living being. And that light is also in their hearts. And they become fully enlightened. And then the light returns. All lights from infinite space return back into your heart. And we dedicate this meditation to the highest. And when you're ready, you can open your eyes. Kisho Chin Meto Drum, we run in Chin and Degen Padi, Sange Shin Du Mikte Uargi, Rokum Nam Da Shin Da Chupa Shok, Idam Guru. Tigevokum
so shin sunam ye she le jon way dam pa kuni to pa shu. Thank you.